Salt Lake City opens a new health clinic for city employees. KUER's Dan Bomas remembers old-time gardener Will Pitkin, and more wild horses will remain on Utah rangelands due to federal budget cuts. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, July 23rd. I'm Brian Grimmett. Salt Lake City hopes to rein in escalating health care costs while improving the overall health and wellness of its employees and their families. The new Midtown Clinic for city employees opened yesterday afternoon. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Family practice physician Dr. Trevor Jacobson says the hallmark of Salt Lake City's Midtown Clinic is that visits will be longer and more personalized, similar to small town family practices. Jacobson was hired to lead the clinic with the help of a medical assistant and receptionist. He says in healthcare today, there is too much focus on profit and too little on overall health. But he says the Midtown Clinic reverses that trend.
Its focus will be primarily preventative. When treatment is needed, we will use lifestyle adjustments, educate the patients about their disease, and through programs and initiatives, the patient will be able to make differences themselves, all the while making the care affordable and accessible.
Unlike traditional healthcare, the Midtown Clinic will not operate in a fee-for-service model, in which physicians are paid more for seeing more patients and running more tests. Physicians at the clinic are paid a market-based salary without the incentives. Officials say services at the clinic will cost about 25% less than what employees currently pay. Lee Dobrowski is deputy chief of police with the Salt Lake City Police Department. He's also on the city's benefits committee. He says the high deductible health plan, which has been offered to city employees since 2011, combined with this clinic, will make city employees better health care consumers.
And with that, we have this opportunity today that I'm excited to roll out to my peers of another piece of the puzzle of maintaining costs, not just for the employee, but also for the taxpayer.
The cost to operate the clinic is shared by Utah's Public Employees Health Program, or PEHP, and Salt Lake City. The city's contribution is expected to be offset by the savings. About 2,700 full-time employees and 300 seasonal or part-time employees and their covered family members will have access to the clinic. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
2 years ago, I was talking to old-time gardeners in Utah, people who use traditional ways to grow food for themselves and to share with others. Will Pitkin was among them, a retired professor from Utah State University, whose peaceful garden was a place where even pests like tomato hornworms and the occasional reporter were received with kindness. Will Pitkin passed away on Sunday at the age of 77, remembered by many for his gentle wit and the wonderful gifts from his garden. I first encountered him as he used a spading fork to recycle spoiled supermarket produce into his compost pile.
I don't want a moral issue here. I let the worms do most of the work.
Will Pitkin is turning over his compost pile with a spading fork in his backyard garden in Hyde Park, just north of Logan. He looks much younger than his 75 years, with thick gray hair and a broad smile. He's long retired from teaching English at Utah State University. His gardening heritage goes back to his childhood in California.
I can remember as an 8-year-old carrying buckets of water about 50 yards to dump one bucket at a time on our hills of squash and so on. And at the time, I hated it. I thought life couldn't get much worse, but somehow it captures you.
Pitkin is just getting around to planting tomatoes and peppers in June because the spring was so wet and cold. But the garlic he planted last fall is 2 feet high, 20 varieties. It's his specialty, something he loves to share. And he may be on the verge of creating still a new variety.
Garlic. I found that about 1 out of 100 of these seeds was a nice pink color. So I gathered up probably 50 of them and planted them in a little barrel out there. There's one of my hens with her babies. Get them out in the sunlight.
In Will Pitkin's gentle garden, the chickens lay lots of eggs, but they die of old age. Even pests like tomato hornworms get a break.
Well, I have in the past designated one tomato for the hornworms, and when I find one, I'll take it over and put it on that plant. As you may know, the tomato hornworm makes a beautiful moth.
Will Pitkin says he's never met a gardener he didn't like, and he's happy to learn from an older generation. Someone like 96-year-old Ray Malouf, who's been tending a 900-square-foot garden for more than 50 years in the backyard of his home, just a few blocks from the Utah State University campus in Logan.
I learned that gardening had to be done in the season when it was ready, and to plant at the right time, the right variety, and take care of them.
Dr. Ray, as his friends call him, grew up in Richfield, where his parents supplied travelers and others in the community with fresh produce. He points out one big advantage of growing your own food, eating varieties you won't find in any supermarket.
We grew squash, a Syrian type of squash. My folks would say Syrian, Lebanese. And they had a special squash that they liked real well, and tomatoes that they liked real well, and beans and all the other vegetables that they grew too. So we had a great variety.
Over here you have peppers, and so I got a bean row, and you got zucchini squash, and out here you have tomatoes and some pumpkins. Now further there you have corn.
Burl Breinholt doesn't get around as well as he used to. He'll turn 93 in August, and he needed some help this year to plant a garden on his acre of land in the Mill Creek area of Salt Lake County. A retired bricklayer, Verl and his wife Gladys raised all the vegetables they could eat, along with 10 children, in a sturdy brick house he built himself.
We had a garden from the very first, and our children grew up with the garden and had to help, and now they have gardens, and their children have gardens, most of them, mm-hmm. because that's what they learned to enjoy.
Verl and Gladys met in the years just before World War II when they both served as missionaries for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Alabama. She's from Georgia, and one year Verl says he even grew peanuts. But not everything works in Utah the way it does in the South.
One thing, he tried watermelon once and it didn't get ripe, so he always said you couldn't grow watermelon, but I understand you can. Okay. If you get the right kind.
Today, young people from their LDS ward are helping in the garden, learning how to till and sow and use the Breinholt's 2 shares of irrigation water, though Verl wishes they'd be more careful where they step between the rows. And whether it's done with furrows and ditches or raised beds and shade cloth, these gardeners feel a spiritual connection to the food they grow that might elude the typical supermarket shopper.
I would hate to limit my diet to things that I had grown on my own. I think it's certainly a noble goal to raise as much as you can.
The more we can provide for our own use, the better. Raise our own and use our own, mm-hmm. sort of like the early pioneers did.
From this little tiny seed that comes out and makes a great big bush or makes a big vegetable. And all seeds are different. And it is one of those spectacular things that you have to recognize.
And for those who would approach eating in a thoughtful way, it's helpful to listen to those who've been growing their own food for a long, long time. Dan Bomas, KUER News. More wild horses will be left on the range this year as the government runs out of places to put them. Here in Utah, there are no plans to remove horses from public land this year. And it's not unusual for Utah to go several years without removing wild horses from the public range, though it's not uncommon to see Mustangs from Nevada and other states brought here for adoption. Lisa Reed with the Bureau of Land Management says there are actually more Mustangs in government holding facilities than there are living wild on the range.
With no new facilities on board right now to hold any more horses, our hands are tied, so we cannot remove anymore, and we'll start seeing more and more effects.
Reed says grazing restrictions are already being imposed on areas where drought and wild horses have reduced the available vegetation. BLM is hauling in water this summer to help maintain one herd in Tooele County. Last month, 30 members of Congress, led by Arizona Democrat Raul Grijalva, sent a letter to Interior Secretary Sally Jewell asking her to make reform of the wild horse program a top priority. They called the agency's current approach unsustainable and asked the BLM to focus on fertility control for wild horses rather than removing them from the range.
A 27-year-old woman died yesterday while she was hiking in the Wave Rock Formation in Kane County. The Salt Lake Tribune reports Elizabeth Ann Burville was hiking with her husband. Sheriff's deputies say the couple had prepared for the strenuous hike, but she was apparently overcome by the heat. Her husband called for help, but paramedics were not able to revive her. Four people have died while hiking in Kane County this year. The two 17-year-olds accused of the death of Gregorio Salazar Campos in Moab have entered guilty pleas in exchange for having their cases moved back to juvenile court. Brody Blue Kruckenberg pleaded guilty to manslaughter and obstruction of justice. He was sentenced to juvenile detention until he turns 21. Charles Anthony Nelson pleaded guilty to obstruction of justice. His sentence is pending. Campos was the boyfriend of Kruckenberg's mother, Corina Dawn Yardley. She's pleaded guilty to obstruction of justice. A judge in Ogden revoked bail for Ricky Jennings yesterday. He's the man accused of shooting his father-in-law during a service at St. James Catholic Church on Father's Day. A Weber County deputy attorney told the judge that Jennings told police he shot James Evan because he felt disrespected. The University of Utah has appointed a new dean for the school's College of Education. Maria Franquis is from the University of Texas at Austin, where she teaches qualitative research and bilingual education. Franquis is a native of Puerto Rico who received a doctorate at the University of California at Santa Barbara in 1995. And finally, there's a new restaurant called Latitude 37 catering to visitors at Lake Powell. The floating restaurant features indoor and outdoor seating along with a balcony area with lake views. It also has temporary slips for boaters who want to pull up for a quick meal. The restaurant is set to open on Thursday at the Wawip Marina on the Arizona side of the state line. That is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, July 23rd. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.